Hey there, and welcome to the She Calls Her Shots podcast. Every week, we chat through different business building topics that will help you gain clarity around your goals, find inspiration in your journey, and also help you create a life and a business that you love. My name is Krista, and I'm a wedding and brand photographer and your go-to no-fluff business coach. In these episodes, we talk through both the tactical strategies, habits, and the mindset work that will help you take those really big leaps. And we always focus on the real talk and the behind the scenes of what it takes to create a sustainable and a thriving business. Because let's be honest, the work isn't always glamorous, but it's always worth it. So girlfriend, let's make some moves and start calling our own shots. Hello, hello, friend, and welcome back to the She Calls Her Shots podcast. In today's episode, I am joined by Brandy Garr. And in today's conversation, Brandy and I are really diving deep into that idea of how to build a sustainable business. If you've been listening to the podcast for any amount of time, you will probably know that building a sustainable business is one of my core topics that I always like to teach on, because I found for myself, for my clients that I've worked with, that can be the thing that either makes or breaks your business. Is, are you able to build it in a sustainable way? Or do you feel like you're constantly being pulled to do more, be more, you know, build faster, build quicker, and all of that kind of noise that stops us from really being able to grow to the extent that we want to grow? And so in today's conversation, Brandy and I are going to go through some ways around how we can focus on building a business that is profitable by working on things that are actually moving the needle forward, but also remembering to take time back for ourselves and to give ourselves space away from our business so that we can actually focus on the higher level, the visionary things and where we want to grow, and make sure that we're not always so stuck in the weeds of the minutia of how, you know, the tactics, the strategies, right? Kind of pulling back and seeing that bigger picture. And so Brandy is a luxury event planner, a thought leader, an educational speaker, and she's the host of the Wedding Pro CEO podcast. And you'll hear in the interview, Brandy's a lifelong lover of all things events. So Brandy actually spent 7 years as a corporate event planner with the prestigious Gaylord Hotels based in Orlando. Their international brand, but she's based in Orlando herself. And then she eventually opened her own event consulting firm, Blush by Brandy Garr. And Blush has quickly become known for their over-the-top events and high-touch standard of customer service. And her team has grown so much over the years. We'll talk about that a little bit in this podcast. But Brandy's really passionate about teaching wedding industry entrepreneurs her exact strategies on how she grew 2 six-figure event businesses while still being a present mom and a wife. She provides expert tools for those who are ready to ditch the overwhelm and build the profitable business that they've always dreamed of. And as you know, if you've listened to this podcast, you'll notice that that message resonates with all of the things that we believe in as well, right? Sustainable businesses, profitable businesses, eliminating the overwhelm, and really just breaking down your business into doable tasks, doable goals. And so Brandy and I are going to really have that conversation today. And I'm so excited for you to dive in. Before we dive into the episode, I would love to invite you to join me in my Confident Creative Challenge. You might have heard me talk about it in previous episodes, but this is something that if you are interested in growing that sustainable business, the business that brings you joy, that brings you freedom, that allows you to live the life that you want to live, I think the Confident Creative Challenge will be perfect for you to start. It's a 30-day challenge. It's completely free. And inside the challenge, every day we're focusing on the things that'll help you stay focused on the things that matter in your business while also giving yourself that space to be able to focus on yourself, your personal growth. Because as we know, those two things are so important to each other to make sure that the business growth and your personal growth are also being nurtured and taken care of. So inside the challenge, I'm really helping you to push past your fears, to take bold action towards who you want to be. We're going to build in some positive daily habits that'll help you find more clarity and get you feeling excited about your goals and where you want to go. We're also going to tap into your success and talk about how you can attract your deeper desires. And we're really going to wrap this around feeling total gratitude for where you are right now and the success that's also coming your way. So I would love to have you join me. You can find that at heykristamarie.com/challenge. And like I said, it's completely free, 30 days. You can come back to it as many times as you'd like. And I really think it'll help you set that baseline to build the business that feels joyful and that gives you the clarity of the big picture growth of where you want to go. So all of that said, I'm so excited to dive into this conversation. So let's go ahead and have a chat with Brandy. Hello, Brandy. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Krista, for having me. I am so excited. This is going to be fun.
Yes, me too. And fun fact, Brandy and I actually knew each other from Orlando, Florida. And that's where you're still in, you're based in Orlando still. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Love Orlando. Love, I've been here since I was 5, so I don't know what it would ever be like to move, but
yeah. It's great. We actually just visited there last week. Yeah, we were in Orlando. Okay. We spent a day in Universal. It was really fun. It was nice to be back in my old hometown.
All the amusement parks. It's what we're known for, right?
Yeah. But I'd love to kind of, before we dive into the topic today, I know we're really going to focus in on how we can, as creative business owners, especially in these first few years, or even if we're 5 to 10 years in our business, I feel like this is a common struggle of how do we grow a business that feels sustainable, where we can protect our own time, but still work on the things that'll move the needle forward and will still bring in revenue in our business. So I'm so excited about that topic today. But before we dive into that, I'd love for you to take us back to the beginning a little bit. How did you first get started in your business? What has that looked like, your journey from then? And then maybe we can get into what it now looks like and how it's evolved.
Yeah, for sure. I actually was a corporate event planner here at one of the big hotels in Orlando right out of college. I always like to acknowledge the fact that I think I had a little bit of a charmed entry into the hospitality space. Like I don't take for granted that we had a major hotel opening right when I was graduating. The director of catering was a good friend of my current boss at the time. And so I really got to move up the ranks quickly there. I learned so much from him. He kind of took me under his wing and taught me a lot about the industry, how to understand the way a hotel works, sold out, oversold, how to forecast budgeting and numbers, and how to really lead well. Like that was one of the things I feel like I learned so much from that job, was how to be a great leader and how to care about your people and how to really invest in them. And so that was just a great experience all around. So I was there for 7 years, and then we had our first daughter. And as great as that job was, I loved it so much. I was still a corporate meeting planner. And so I would sometimes go 5 or 6 days without seeing my daughter awake because I had a show in house. And so you would they owned you, while you were there. Yeah. And I just thought, I don't think I can do this for the rest of my life. And so I had an opportunity to leave and start working with a local planner, and I started working with her. She was amazing, but she quickly let me know, I really don't want to build a big kind of empire. I really just was doing this to kind of add some additional income to my family, and I needed some help. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to do that. I do want to build something really big. And so she was like, well, if you'll still help me, feel free to start your own company, which never happens, right? No one gets that kind of an opportunity. Work for me, but build your own brand. And so I did. So I started Blush in 2007. And 16 years later, here we are. And it was honestly, I was 26. So it was I was the marrying age. All my friends were getting married. All of their friends were getting married. So it was a lot of just tell everyone it was before social media really was a thing, and which always makes me think oh my gosh, that sounds, makes me sound so old, right? But Instagram's not that old, people, okay?
Yeah.
So starting a business pre-Instagram was so different, and it was a lot of just relationship building, telling people that this is what I do now and I can help. But we built a team really quickly. I knew I always wanted to be, the biggest game in town. That's what I wanted. And so we started building a team quite quickly. And now Blush is one of the biggest wedding planning firms in Central Florida. We do Central Florida, St. Augustine, Tampa, and we have full-time staff, several full-time staff members, and I don't do weddings anymore at all. So I love that it's kind of come full circle to exactly what I had always dreamed I would build. It took a long time to get here, but now I love it. I absolutely love getting to pour into my team and help them build careers in this industry and really be part of so many couples' legacy of what, you know, building this new family that they're creating.
Yeah. Wow. That's so remarkable. Cause I know when I was starting off, and even to this point, it's interesting because I feel like sometimes you don't know, like, how big do I want to build this? You know, like, because I have some photographer friends who kind of knew from the get-go, like, similar to you, where it's like, I'm going to do this now, but I want to build, like, a team of associate shooters and build a whole thing and be able to lead it. And I think that's just so remarkable that from the beginning that you were able to know and kind of see that vision of, I know exactly where I want this to go. And I imagine that probably helps keep yourself a little bit removed from, because I think one of the struggles we sometimes feel is then we just get so into the weeds of building the business that we don't ask for help. We're not looking for ways that we can grow and scale. And so we get so kind of into all of that, that it leads to a lot of burnout. So I imagine having that higher level vision, you said that you knew you wanted to scale quickly. Yeah. You knew you wanted to bring on team members. I imagine that probably helped that transition.
Yeah, I definitely think it did. And that's too why I say, like, I know I have a charm. Like, I always like to acknowledge that. When I was four, I told my mom I wanted to plan parties for a living. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And never, ever wanted to do anything different my whole life. And my parents have always kind of thought that was funny that they're like, I mean, I planned an anniversary dinner party for my parents when I was six. Like, I have only ever wanted to plan parties. And I love the joy that you can bring to somebody through an intentional party, like an event that is so intentional with the details that it's not about like, oh, the flowers were big or the cake was 12 tiers. Like, it's the thoughtful, intentional details that go into an event that can make someone feel so loved and so welcome. And I think that there's, like, that's what I love about it. And so I've only ever wanted to do this. And then when I started my company, I knew that I wanted to build something so much bigger than, like, I didn't want to just plan parties for myself. I wanted to help other people be able to do that too. So yeah, my senior planner has been with me for 15 years and we've had the business 16 years. So like I've always had a team really. And that is not to say that it hasn't been hard, because I have spent many nights crying on my living room floor, you know, like, I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just part of building a business, I think, too, is that there wasn't, I should say now with online education, there's so much information out there about like how to build a sustainable business, how to build a profitable business. But back when we were starting, or even when I was starting to scale, like, there was nowhere that I couldn't turn anywhere to get the help. It was either like, if you're selling widgets, here's how you can scale, right? But if you're a service-based business, there was very little information out there about like how to build a business that was profitable, that, you know, didn't work you to the bone, that existed outside of you. And so even though I had this big team, I still felt like I was on a hamster wheel all the time. So it took a lot of learning how to do that. And that's why I'm so passionate now about teaching other wedding pros how to build a business that's bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, you're going to want off the wheel.
And that also requires other skills that you have to develop too. Managing a team is a very different skill level than starting a business. So it's like, you know, that also has its own challenges as you're learning how to do that. I'm like in Enneagram 9 and I don't want to upset people. So I think that's part of the reason why I'm like, I can't imagine having a big team because I wouldn't even know what to do or how to tell them what to do. But yeah, I think that's so important.
That's
and
so funny.
It is,
I get that.
It is so true too that there wasn't a lot of education. And now I almost feel like there is so much education. It's like one end of the wheel or the other. Like when we were starting, there really online courses, like accessible online courses were not a thing. When I was learning photography, I literally went to in-person people who were photographers and they taught me how to use my camera. There were no online programs. And so it's so true. But now I feel like we're on the opposite end where there's so much education. I find that sometimes now people are getting overwhelmed with where do I start? Where do I go? So I feel like it's its own different dilemma.
Oh, it's a total different beast. I actually just recently did a podcast on it because I had so many of my students that would come into my program and be like, I actually have bought 12 programs in the last 12 months. And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, and they're like, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm like, no kidding. And, you know, I think one of the things that's really important, and this kind of leads into our topic today too, but is like really understanding the difference between free education and paid education and what their roles are. Because there's, you know, now you could literally throw a rock and hit 60 different podcasts that could teach you the same topic, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what I always try to encourage people to do is use free education like podcasts or workshops or webinars to almost interview the educator. Like, is this somebody that I like their style? Like, do I like the way that they teach? Do I like the way that they handle themselves? Have they built what I want to build? Do they understand what I've walked through? Not to say that necessarily they have to have built that exact same mm-hmm. business, but do they have the same morals and values? And use that free education to kind of figure out, is this the person I want to learn from? And then choose an educator to go all in with for a while. And maybe 6-8 months, join their program and shut everything else out mm-hmm. for a little bit. Like, focus on that education that you've invested in. And then once you've kind of, okay, I've gotten this, I've mastered this, I've built this piece of my business, then you can start to then look for that next step. Mm-hmm. But I think we get overwhelmed with our time a lot because it's like, well, I have 16 different webinars I've signed up for this week. And
yeah,
that's overwhelming.
Yeah. And there are a lot of other creatives that I've spoken to that have been in that same boat of, yeah. Oh, but I'm consuming all this free content, but the free content is only giving you this surface level of information. Yes. So now you're running around with all the surface level stuff, trying to figure out how to build all the rest of it with no yeah. guidance or clarity on how to do
yes.
it. So I think,
yes.
and I love that. I love that because I think that's such a great way of how to look at it. And it also, it does then make you limit. Okay. If I'm using this as an interview, I don't need to interview like 50 people. So it might even help change your perspective of how many free things should I sign up for? How many yeah. things should I be looking at? Because realistically, maybe only I'm looking at a handful of people to figure yeah. out, okay, who is it that I want to move forward with? So that in itself would also help you protect some of your time with the free content.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah. I do think it's always important too to like know what your goal is at the moment. So many of us will make, you know, mm-hmm. 15 goals at the beginning of the year. And it's like, that's just simply not realistic. I always try to encourage my students 3 to 5, like max goals for the year. And underneath those, you're going to have goals and tasks that kind of help you to get to that big one, right? But you don't need to do all these things in your business right away. I think just the overwhelm, just the sheer amount of things that we have access to now could set in so much of that overwhelm.
Yeah, absolutely. And goal setting is a big one because I think, and I was actually yeah. surprised because when I started working with students one-on-one, one thing I found was that actually goal setting was difficult for a lot of people, or at least realistic goal setting, I guess I should say, and really breaking down yeah. the goals into something that was tangible that they could actually work through. And yeah, I think that's one thing that for me, and I think for most creatives, is really take a step back and figure out what are my goals? What am I working towards? Because that's how you spend your time in your business. So if you're feeling burnout, if you feel like you're doing all the things, take a step back and look at what am I actually working towards? What are my goals? And you mentioned too, kind of what are your goals and what's the content that you're consuming? For me, I know I bought into any marketing thing that told me that this was going to be thing that helped my business, regardless of whether it fit into what I felt like I needed to currently learn or not, I was consuming or purchasing. I bought this whole sales program, and it was from creatives and photographers, but like that wasn't the thing I actually needed to focus on at that point in time in my business, but I went right. all in and consumed it. So yeah, figuring out what is it that I'm actually, what's my goal? What am I working on? And what are the things that I can use to supplement that? Not just like, oh, this thing tells me that it's going to be the thing that grows my business and all this stuff. Like, cause it's so easy to get sucked into that time and time again.
Hey friend, I want to make sure you know about my upcoming free workshop, Seasons of Growth. This workshop is going to be super valuable to photographers that want to learn how to maintain a thriving photography business in the midst of the slower seasons. I know how frustrating it can feel when inquiries aren't coming in, especially when you see other photographers booking out their sessions consistently. This workshop is going to be classroom style and super interactive, meaning that you're going to get real-time coaching from me on how you can create more momentum and visibility inside your business, meaning more inquiries coming in and more booked clients. These are the same strategies that I've used to help my one-to-one clients book more sessions, and I'm bringing them all to you during the workshop. You can learn more and save your spot by visiting heychristamarie.com/workshop. I can't wait to see you there.
It really is. And, you know, it's so interesting. I think it's so important to set that goal and then to give yourself the freedom to let the other things go for now, right? And like, as an educator, I think this is even more important as an educator. I mean, obviously as a wedding pro, I think this is important too, but is, you know, you have to be in all the places, right? It's like, I have to be on YouTube and I have to have a podcast and I have to be on Instagram and TikTok and Pinterest and LinkedIn. And oh, by the way, I still have to get back to my clients, right? And so I am a huge fan of saying, okay, which one of these things do I feel like is going to move the needle most in my business now? And then find either get the education or whatever it is that you need to do to go all in on it and put blinders on to everything else until you've gotten through that goal. Like, what is your goal? For me, an example of this would be last year in 2022, my husband and I really decided we were going to go all in on our podcast. We'd had it at that point for a little over a year. And up until that point, I didn't even describe myself as a podcast host. Like, when people ask me what I do, I would be like, I'm a wedding planner, I'm an educator. I never said podcast host, yet here I was, you know, with a podcast for over a year. And so my husband was like, I really think we're missing a massive opportunity with our podcast. Like, I think we really need to focus on how to grow it, how to really be intentional with it. And I was like, ugh, okay. But once we did, like, we hired a coach, we decided we are going to go all in. And for 6 months, I'm not even kidding you, like, if anybody even came at me with like, you should also be on YouTube, no. Or, you know, you should also be on TikTok, no. Like, blinders were on. And I was like, all I care about for this 6 months, in addition to just running my company, right, is how to grow my podcast. Mm-hmm. That's where we're putting all of our effort, 100% of it. And then once that 6 months is done and we've met the goal we've set for it, then, okay, what's the next thing we want to learn for our business? Like, what's the next step or what's the next thing that's going to help us grow? And for me, at least, I feel like it helps me to give myself the grace that when I see some big program for like YouTube come out and it's like, here's how you can 10 times your revenue by being on YouTube. I'm like, nope, I committed 6 months to the podcast first, you know, and I'm going to have to wait to join something else or to do something else. So that's helped me some, is to compartmentalize my time.
Yes. That resonates. That story is literally me too. And because I felt the same way, where there was this, at the time I had my podcast, so it was like a year and a half in, but I, for the first year, was kind of on and off. Like, there'd be a few consistent months and then a break, and then a few consistent months and a break. And yeah, the beginning of 2022, I was like, we're doing this, we're going all in. Every week there's going to be an episode. And also hired a podcast manager who helped me grow it and things like that. But that made such a big difference, because prior to that, I was also trying to spread myself so thin on Instagram and Reels and also creating content. And then, oh, hearing people tell me, oh, you have a podcast, you should also put blog posts up for all of the episodes, and you should also be on Pinterest. And it was this overwhelming feeling of, I don't have the money to be able to have people do this for me, and I don't have the time to be able to do this well, sustainably. Yeah. And so it was very similar to me, where I was like, all right, we're just going to go all in on this one thing. And now, one of the biggest transition, I think, that has helped me so much for my mental health and just my time, it's interesting because Instagram now has become a thing where I've created a plan that's reasonable for me to post and share. But I also, I record Reels and stuff when I feel like I want to.
Yeah.
And I've released the expectation of, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. No, I'll record it if I feel like I want to. And if I don't, then I don't. Yeah. Because I've realized my priorities have shifted to where is it that I actually feel like is moving the needle most. It's going to be more so the podcast, the relationships, all of that.
Hey there, it's Krista here. If you're a creative business owner that wants to feel more confident in your skills and your ability to create a thriving business, I'd love to invite you to join me for my newest 30-day challenge called The Confident Creative. It's completely free, and inside the Confident Creative Challenge, I'm helping you implement the strategies that will not only help you feel more confident as a creative business owner, but I'm also giving you access into the exact tools that I use to bring in more joy and money to my growing business every day. At the end of the day, our confidence really does affect how much our business can grow. We have to deeply believe in ourselves and feel gratitude for where we are right now if we want to take things to the next level. But oftentimes, our doubts, our fears, our worries, our insecurities, all of these things can sometimes take over in our mindset and really keep us playing small. So if you're ready to join me inside the challenge, head on over to heychristamarie.com/challenge. And as soon as you join, you'll get immediate access to the challenge information, the guided PDF workbook, the daily journal prompts, and a beautiful daily checklist to help you track your results. There's honestly no better time to join me than right now. So if you're ready to gain massive clarity, unleash your inner confidence to create that life and business that you're proud of, I can't wait to see you inside the challenge. So again, that's heychristamarie.com/challenge, and I can't wait to see you inside. So yeah, but it really does take that getting honest with yourself of you might really enjoy being on Instagram, but is it really providing the results matching the time that you're putting into it? And if it's not, are there other things that you could be doing that could actually help move it faster?
100%. And I think as a business owner, no matter what kind of business owner you are, is really understanding what moves the bank account, right? And I say that in a way that's like, mm-hmm. I don't want you to think it's all about money. But if you're a business owner, you definitely should be thinking about how does everything I do in my business result in a return on that investment? And the return is not always dollars, right? Sometimes the return is a better mm-hmm. relationship with someone, or it's a new venue partner, or it can be lots of different things. But there has to, at some point, be a return on your bank account as a business owner, because your business isn't sustainable if you're not turning a profit, right? And so when mm-hmm. you look at things like, okay, I love being on Instagram, and you think because your follower count is going up, you know, you've got 13,000, 15,000 followers, and it's great and exciting, but are those followers turning into dollars? Because if they're not, then we're now chasing a vanity metric. So you're spending time mm-hmm. places that aren't moving the needle because, you know, it's not returning sales. So as a business owner, I think a lot of what we have to look at too is what things that I do in my business every day actually return sales, give me a return on my investment of time. And those, that's where you need to be focusing your effort, right? Totally. And I think we forget that sometimes as business owners.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned too, that it doesn't always have to equate to dollars, because that was one thing for me. And that was a hard transition for me, was even though Instagram is also free, the podcast is free. And I feel like every week showing up, it's a lot of valuable content that is completely unpaid. But it's realizing there's so much more than I don't need to be charging for things. I don't need to be making these into their own masterclasses. It's sometimes just growing that trust, growing the connection. You know, I'd actually, when we're recording this, I had just recorded for Brandy's podcast as well. But we had talked about how the importance behind not focusing so much on the fact that it has to be paid, like the importance of building the connection, growing the relationships, and understanding that long-term, the long-term that's going to come from it, right? People are listening to you to figure out, is this someone that I want to connect with, to work with? And so that sometimes is so much more valuable than charging a low ticket to listen into some free training or low-cost training. So yeah, I love that you said that, because it doesn't always have to equate to dollars, but sometimes that's a hard thing for us to realize, is maybe I don't have to charge for everything, but how can I do it in a way that actually is going to make a difference in some capacity?
Yeah. And I do think that that's important. I think the podcast is a great example of that. You know, if you're showing up every single week, Krista, and you're doing a podcast every single week, and it's a lot of time, it's not just the time you sit down in front of the mic. Like, we all know that, hopefully, right? And it's sometimes money. Like you said, you have a podcast manager now, and there's money that goes out for it. If you're doing that and every single week you are not seeing downloads go up, like it's just staying stale, like your numbers aren't moving, you know, growing a podcast is a slow churn, mm-hmm. guys. If you're just in case you don't know, it's a slow churn. but, and it's painful sometimes, but mm-hmm. you do always want to see that consistent growth, right? Even if it's 5 new downloads, you know, it doesn't have to be this virality, but you do always want to be measuring the things that you're doing as a business owner to make sure that there is a return. Like the coolest thing about the return of a podcast is that you really grow that authority. Like you kind of just said, Krista, you're growing that ability to speak into someone else's life, to impact someone's life, to help a new business owner mm-hmm. that you wish you would have had when you started out. I'm sure I know I wish I would have had, you know, a coach like you when I was starting out. And it's a great way to get to impact somebody's life, but then to also build into that relationship. And it can be a long game, but you do always want to make sure that that's growing. You know, I think sometimes I see business owners that just are so passionate about something that they'll literally beat their heads against a wall to continue doing it. And it's not moving the needle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, 100%, if this is a hobby and you want to do it for fun, go for it. But let's just call it what it is, right? Let's call it a hobby. A business makes money. A hobby costs you money. So which one are we doing here, right? And so I think it's always really important with your time, especially to understand what you're trying to get back out of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And I also think it's interesting too to think about like protecting your time. And I know we kind of talked about courses a little bit earlier. And one thing I've noticed, and maybe this has resonated for you as well, with some of my clients, that looking for outward information and trying to consume all the things diminishes our confidence in ourselves because we don't think that we know as much as we do. This is something I find a lot, especially with my photography clients. You're like nodding your head. You probably have the same feeling yes. with your clients is there's so much wealth of knowledge that they have that they don't trust that they have because they're so used to looking for other people for the answers. And one of the things with podcasts, I always want to encourage any clients, whether you think you're an expert on something or not, find podcasts to just start guest hosting on, because when you can start building that muscle of, oh, you know what? I do know, like there is a topic that I can talk about really confidently, really well. And maybe that's a blog post, maybe it's a podcast, whatever place you feel like is easiest for you to share. But yeah, I think with podcasts, because sometimes I think people get caught up in, oh, well, I don't want to be a podcast host. Well, you don't have to be a podcast host, but you can be a guest yeah. on a podcast, and that starts to grow your network, your community, your confidence, your ability to speak on topics. I feel like there's so many valuable pieces that come from that.
Yes. Yes. That's so good. I mean, you're always going to have something to lend to someone else. Like there's always someone that's like, oh my gosh, that was a nugget I didn't even know I needed. You know, you don't have to mm-hmm. be 15 steps in front of someone to offer information that can impact their business. You could be one step ahead. And honestly, sometimes I feel like that's actually even better. Like in my mastermind, I love that, you know, so many of my students teach each other as well. I'm almost a facilitator at this point versus an educator, because this is not going to come out the right way, but I hope that you understand my heart behind this. But like I am so many steps ahead of some of my students that yeah. it feels like I skip steps. And, you know, like I'm like, oh, my students that are only a few steps ahead of them, they're mm-hmm. the ones that can really pour into, oh, here's exactly, I literally just went through this yeah. last year. Like, here's how I can do that.
Connect those dots a little bit
yes,
more.
Yes. I think that there's so much value. And I love, like, in my mastermind, I'm constantly encouraging my students who are kind of further ahead in the pace to help coach the newer students, because I'm like, not only like you just said, Krista, it's like mm-hmm. they get so much from teaching as well, you know, as the new students do from learning. And so there's always something that you can provide value in, and really kind of putting yourself out there to help others is such a great way to build your confidence in doing that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. But yeah, there's so much to be found when you can yeah. start to build that muscle of education. Yeah. Whether you want to move into education or not, there's so much that can be found when you start to help other people. Mm-hmm. So much of your inner confidence comes out and you start to realize, oh, I actually like, I do know what I'm doing. And that does affect so many other parts of your business when you 100%. Can approach it in that sense. Oh, that's so good. Well, I love to ask, and this, sure. you know, can be tangible, non-tangible. This can be kind of anything that comes to mind, but has there been something maybe recently that you felt like has been a really big game changer or really moved the needle forward? It could be something like a habit, a workflow, a process, maybe like starting coaching, or is there anything that you feel like kind of was a big aha moment or a big shift that was able to kind of like help you move towards where you wanted to go?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, I'm like, what would I say that it was for me? And actually, it's so interesting. The book Clockwork, have you ever read the book Clockwork by Mike McAlevitz? I give it to everyone. All of my mastermind students get it. Everyone who attends my summits, I'm like, here's your book. Like, this is your new best friend. It is so good. I think for me, it was really the way I needed a mindset shift in my business of understanding I've always valued my time, but not to the degree that this book teaches. And really understanding, I think the reason I like this book so much was because, like I had said in the beginning when I was trying to find information about how to build a business that was bigger than me, so much of the information that was out there was for product-based businesses. It was like, just build more widgets. And I was like, okay, but what if every widget requires a human, right? Like, you can't sell more weddings if you don't have more stuff. And so for me, I was always just like, I don't get it. And so this book is a really big mindset shift about how to build your business completely without you. I mean, and I think what was so interesting to me about it is it was for service-based businesses. So it, you know, it totally resonated with a wedding pro, but it really helped me to understand that where I was in my business at the time is that I had built this massive business. I think we had 11 planners that were working for us. We were everywhere. And to be honest, I hated my business. Like, it was, I can honestly say I would have been thrilled if it like burned to the ground, except for the fact that it was the only income that comes into my family. My husband and I both work full time for our business. And for me, it was like every single thing in my business still involved me to somehow make a decision or to somehow have one finger in the process. And the problem was that then I became a bottleneck in my business. Like, nothing could move forward if I wasn't able to get to it yet. And so it just always felt like if I even closed my eyes for a second, like my whole business would fall apart. And so this book really helped me to open my eyes to the fact that I was the problem in my business. I was the bottleneck. And so removing myself completely from whole processes and giving those to some of my staff members and training them how to handle the issue without me, or how to, you know, improve something without me, how to make a decision without me, was so important. And now, genuinely, truly, like, I think there's a lot of people who are like, I work for my business 5 hours a week and I drink Mai Tais in Tahiti. I don't drink Mai Tais in Tahiti. I have lots of things going on. But genuinely, truly, for Blush, I could disappear tomorrow and you would literally never know. Like, I spend less than 2 or 3 hours a week in Blush and it runs completely without me. And that, I would say 90% of that reason is because of this book. And I've even had my staff read it. They understand their role in the business and how important they are and how important it is for also for me to be able to be that visionary and to be like the person that's constantly looking at the growth of our business and what challenge we're going to take on next. Like, that's my role. And the more involved I am in the day to day, the less I can do that. And so they understand that their role is to keep me out of the day to day, because the bigger our company gets, the bigger their jobs get, the longer they have a career, right? And so it's really helping the whole team to understand that. So I would say, if you haven't read the book Clockwork, go run and grab it. It's so good.
Yeah, I love that. And I'll link to it in the show notes. And I think that sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that sounds so relevant, even for someone who's in their first few years of business. Because for me, for example, with the podcast is a great example. I was hesitant to outsource some of the podcasts because I it wasn't making a lot of money. I had a lot of mental blocks around it, but recording, editing, doing all the things was just like a lot. And so I had a guest who came on here, who was also a photographer, who outsources pretty much, like, I don't know, a lot of her business. And she noticed, she called me out after our interview very kindly. She was like, you mentioned you still edit the podcast. Why? And we had a whole conversation around it. And it was, I needed to have that, I needed to be able to release that hold of, oh, well, if I'm not doing it, is it going to be done? Like, I had to learn how to release that. And I truly think that if I hadn't done that 6-7 months ago, I'm not sure that the podcast would be where it's at now. I now am able to have someone write my show notes, and I have a blog that comes from my show notes. And so much of a process has developed because I have now allowed other people to do it. And of course, I still have to record, and of course, I still have to do other things. But it sounds like this book could still be helpful for someone, even if you're just starting to learn how to outsource. It's like, start to train your brain around this. This can work without me having a hold on every single thing, because that can be really difficult to learn how to release that feeling.
Yeah, 100%. I would say if you could read it in the beginning of your journey, it's even more helpful, because like by the time I read it and I was like, I either have to close the business and like go get a job or figure this out. And from the outside looking in, my business was so successful. Like, that was the hardest part, as I was like, all these people think that, like, you know, everything is so successful. On the inside, I was like, I work 24/7. Like 24/7. And so if you could, we ended up blowing up our whole company. Like, we kind of like smashed the whole thing and built it back up the right way. I would not recommend that if you don't have to. If you can just start from the beginning and learn that mentality of, my business needs to run without me. Like, my business needs to be able to run without me. That's what makes it sellable. That's what makes it an easy exit strategy. Not that you're thinking about exit strategy in the very beginning, but you should be always thinking about, like, what's the end game here? You know, like, am I going to still be doing weddings when I'm 60? I don't really want to, you know?
Yeah.
So those are just some of the things that I think, I definitely think no matter what stage of business you're in, read the book. It's so good.
Oh, that's so great. I'm going to go. I'll be purchasing that.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, but this was so great. I would love for you to share. Let us know, how can we find you? Where can we learn more? Share all of the details.
Yeah. Well, I would love for you guys to come listen to the Wedding Pro CEO podcast. If you're a wedding pro, that's my podcast. I have so much fun with it. We drop episodes twice a week. And very specifically, I think episode 39 kind of really resonates with what we are talking about here today, Krista, which is time. And that episode is called Why Time Blocking Doesn't Work. I love time blocking. I think it absolutely does work, but I go through all the reasons that people say it doesn't and how to combat those. And it really helps you just to get some freedom back in your week and to be able to really focus as the CEO. So that's episode 39 of the Wedding Pro CEO podcast. And then I love Instagram. Like, come DM me, say hi. I love DMs. I'm at Brandy Gar on Instagram. Come over and give me a shout. Say hi.
I love that. Yes, definitely go check out the podcast. Check out episode 39 and also listen to the other episodes too.
Yeah.
But thank you so much. This was so great. And I know this is going to be so helpful, again, as we're in this season of kind of middle part of the year, beginning to middle part of the year. Everyone's thinking about their goals and how they can grow. And so I think this topic is so timely and so important for us to remember.
Yes, it's so good. Thank you so much, Krista, for having me. This was great.
One last thing before you go. I'd absolutely love it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you've already left a review, I'd love for you to share this episode with your business bestie. I love getting to shout out my listeners on the show. And the more listeners that we have, the more that I can help others create a thriving and sustainable business too. Thank you so much again for being a part of this community. And I can't wait to hear your takeaways from today's episode.